Blog Talk Radio.
Africa, Emotle, Africa, Omtle, the beautiful Africa, Yizwe lethu, fatsela rona, the land is ours, tiko ra hina, shango lasho. My Africa, you own the country, you own the vote, you pay the president, you pay the ministers, deputy ministers, members of parliament, and all public officials. And you pay my Africa to build schools, to build clinics, community halls, roads, bridges. You call it my Africa. That's you call it, call that service delivery. But that's what you do. You are responsible. You are the owner, my Africa. And for 22 years, you did not vote for schools. You did not vote schools, vote clinics, and community halls to rule over you. You voted a political party, my Africa, to rule over you. So why now, my Africa, why are you destroying schools, clinics, community halls, ban family homes, and risk hurting and killing your own people, our family? We are saying, my Africa, vote as my Africa to take control of your local councils, local municipalities. Take control of your government and your government money. The most important thing, your government money. Because other people are owning it. They've taken control of it. My Africa, we call for high honor, high morality, high discipline. And those are the key holding pins. That is the glue of the Liberation Struggle Foundation. High honor, high morality, high discipline. We see today dishonor, my Africa, of the liberation guiding principles and founding principles, my Africa, founding tenets. And for children born in exile to write and remind their leader to adhere and uphold their movement constitution, my Africa. You imagine, I mean to quote, they refer to a clause in the Constitution. The most important breach of the Constitution is Clause 25.17.8, which prohibits the abuse of elected or employed office in the organization or in the state to obtain any direct or indirect undue advantage or enrichment. I'll read again, my Africa. According to Clause 25.17.8 of the Constitution of Africa, the children are referring to, the most important breach of the Constitution is Clause 25.17.8, which prohibits the abuse of elected or employed office in the organization or in the state to obtain any direct or indirect undue advantage or enrichment. I think they refer to officer. The clause specifically mentions abuse in the organization or in the state. If a movement leadership, my Africa, dishonors and disregards the clarion call by its own children to uphold and respect their movement founding constitution. The wonder, my Africa, this leadership, these guys, they are violating the country's concocted apartheid constitution. We say concocted apartheid constitution because the constitution was not meant for, we didn't devise it. It was meant for somebody else. However, it's a working document, instrument. So, my Africa, to the Africans, to us, the local municipalities, my Africa, elections are meant to empower, give local communities power, control, and ownership of their communities. Include my Africa welcoming independents who themselves see, who see themselves as first as my Africa, because you have my Africa first before you become anything. You are my Africa first. So why connive, my Africa, amongst us? Why amongst us we have our so-called my Africa comrades connive to sabotage the registration of individual local candidates because you are disputing party leadership. Why? It has nothing, that has nothing to do. Leadership disputes are separate and should be seen and resolved separate from local elections, community empowerment. The local elections are for the people, man. How, when are you going to declare your allegiance, commitment to the people, when in fact you want to sabotage the registration to participate in local elections? The primitive greed for power mixed with the toxic power of money is the root of dishonor and blatant breach of the founding liberation principles. That is to serve, suffer, and sacrifice. High morale, high discipline. And we repeat Mafrika again, high honor, high morality, high discipline. Like in Mafrika, the root money has encroached and it's eating our morality, internal honor. Disrepute, dishonor. That's what we see, Mafrika. And much worse, Mafrika. This year, more than 5 sitting and potential councillors have been killed in what are assassinations aimed at removing competitors ahead of the finalization of lists, councillor lists. And more than 60 people, 60 killings over 5 years, Mafrika. What nonsense it is, Mafrika. Why? But the root of it is the toxic power of money. I think we're not used to money. We're not used to it, of course. We can handle it. And Mafrika, what nonsense is it to pay? It is to pay councillors each almost a million rands plus packs, housing, cars, petrol, when the communities in which the councillors represent suffer chronic unemployment, hunger, and homelessness. How could that be? No wonder Mafrika factions are willing to kill and be killed and risk jail. All because of money. They just want that money. They want those tenders. They want those contracts. And Mafrika, the other question is, why pay parliamentarians $2 million rents or so salary? Let's say the most $1 million. Why pay them that much money? And they don't account to you, communities, but they account to party bosses. That's where the problem is, Mafrika. And most tragically, voting to protect family business of foreigners under protection of the party bosses. That's what we have. That's what we have, Mafrika. The parliament and local council salary scales are far in excess of the poverty and inflation index, far in excess of senior engineers, IT specialists, far in excess of nurses, teachers, police, who are the most critical anchor. Those are the most critical foundation running the nation, key to build the nation. But you get people, pay people almost millions of rents, cars, houses, to go sleep in parliament. And they don't do anything. You just sit there waiting for the boss to call on a sudden, hey, Lord, please vote this way. That's all. That's what we're paying for. And the nation is, the internal fiber of the nation of the liberation movement is falling apart because of greed for money, greed for power. And I guess, Mafrika, these high, excessive salary scales were calculated against foreign exchange currencies because we had the British colonials. By the way, Mafrika, even parliament is fashioned under, you know, along the Westminster system of parliament. So the British are there. They've been seconding us. They're inside. They've been running. They've been running things behind the scenes. And that's all that we are paying to. Administrative costs and salaries are too high, are bloated. They have to stop. You pay parliamentarians or representatives within a reasonable percentage of the poverty index or inflation index. That's what you do. That these exorbitant, abnormal, and insane salaries have to be reined in. So, Mafrika, the 1994 transition to majority rule. Of course, Mafrika, fulfilled. One, professorial truism. It's like you was a psychic, huh? Psychic talking. That according to Mangalusa's book, The Africanist, in 1949, January 1949, he pointed out, Mafrika, that to the ANC leadership, the present nationalist government is the properly elected government of South Africa, whose policies, however, it does not approve of. And the ANC main struggle is to get the NETS, that is the Nationalist Party, out of power. And Africa, this explains how and why the ANC inherited the constitution of the Republic of South Africa as is. They took it as it is. Remember the times when you were saying that render the country ungovernable and we are going to replace the apartheid regime with an Africanist or majority rule government and constitution? To a great extent, it happened the other way. And of course, they adopted the Constitution of South Africa as it was, of course, with amendments to install the black president, cabinet, and parliament. So, Mafrika, according to F.W. de Klerk was saying consistently that there shall be no constitutional vacuum during the transition to majority rule. Of course, de Klerk was the last president of the white settler minority rule. So, Mafrika, because they adopted the Constitution of South Africa and they wanted to just replace the net, they ended up paying their party debts. Came out with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission giving amnesty simply to bury Mafrika and seal holding perpetrators of apartheid and apartheid monopolies to account for committing apartheid inhuman and economic crimes. So the whole thing was hashed out. And to absolutely protect the minority group rights, because this constitution was, in the main, meant to protect the minority group rights. So what they've done is they concentrated almost all government appointment powers in all state organs in the first black presidency. The presidency, that is the president, the country's first president, Rolihlahla Mandela. May his soul rest in peace. Power was concentrated in his office. And that included control of the governing party. They could hire and fire the majority members of parliament, and they had to vote according to the party line and according to the wishes and the dictates of the executive presidency. So what happened was that you had legislation and changes accelerated. All right? And at that time, it might have been necessary. It might have been good. But, Mafrika, this has to change. This has to change, Mafrika, because our position was, let me say, not good, but it was strategic. Because after 2020, after the fact, Mafrika, in hindsight, you can always condemn. But the PAC position was that was a sellout. That was a compromise. That was the PAC position, Mafrika. And we've been hammering on that thing that because we knew our founding fathers, Mangalisa Sobukwe, Robert Sobukwe, and the Africanist, repeated this mantra that our black brothers just wanted to take portfolios in government. And they did take portfolios. So the crisis that we have today is simply the compromise that was there. And sometimes in Africa, of course, we are competing forces, political parties. We don't listen to one another. But that being the case, in Africa, the situation, the status quo has to change. We have to revert back to the Pan-Africanist principles where the majority rules and that we are guaranteed the individual, not groups. Minority groups as individuals will be protected. And to further protect the minority groups, they transition and establish independent courts, judicial organs, and Chapter 9 institutions. So just to protect them. Well and good. That being the case, we have to have the empowerment, the takeover, ownership of the African majority. We have to feel that we want for something. And the independent cause of Africa have turned out to be the only credible, durable bastille, the block against the raging corruption that's engulfing the state, our country. So the second black president of Africa usurped the presidency concentrated powers to unleash Africa. He used the power to unleash liberal economic policies. I mean, for example, the growth, employment, and redistribution program that unleashed Africa privatization. He just, you know, opened up privatization and removal of currency exchange controls that let loose Africa, letting loose the apartheid monopolies to take out their apartheid bloody loot money to London. And they lied to him, Africa. I mean, these guys are so educated. You might think that they lied to him and said that, no, we will swap equivalent assets back into the country. What happened? What happened? They wanted to run away. They're still digging out and running away today. Nobody's doing anything about it. And he, much worse, Mafruga, he, the presidency, wrote the United States Federal Court, motioning the court, asking the court to refuse and dismiss victims of apartheid civil cases, demanding U.S. and apartheid corporations to pay reparations for the apartheid economic crimes. He wrote the court, Mafruga. And what happened also, that too much concentration of power in the presidency created ideological camps, confrontations, and power factions that seeded rank corruption and a major split by Africa that ended up, he ended up being recalled. So too much concentration of power in the presidency of Africa. We have to break that. We have to break that. Now we've had the third president of Africa who has publicly said that, told the public that now his political party, the ANC, comes first, not the country. And to consolidate power in his presidency of Africa, he has unleashed his political party security apparatchiks to rein in and toe in line all state organs, and also does the same thing outside the political outside government. And he has led Africa, the political party, as party president. He stripped the absolute independence and the power of the NPA, which is the National Prosecuting Authority, got the state to pay out millions of rands contract to buy out and remove a head of the prosecution of Africa, who independently, that man independently initiated judicial commission seeking to root out corruption within the prosecution authority. And somehow he found a way to pay millions, 17 million rands, got rid, golden handshake. Then that's your money, Africa. Instead of having public servants serve us, they are under fire all the time and under threat to be intimidated and removed. Now, Africa, the presidency, as we speak, is implicated in corruption conspiracy and in effect aiding and abetting the Gupta family expatriates. These are expatriates from India, Africa, and they are committing corruption crimes against the state openly. You can't do anything about it. So the whole process is subverting, undermining the Prevention and Combating of Corruption Activities Act. It undermining corruption laws, Africa. And as you know, the act prohibits corruption against the state, but it is silent on the so-called state capture. There's no state capture in the Corruption Act. So by hammering that, okay, it's good, but that's a waste of our time. What we need is these corruption crimes committed against the state must be prosecuted. What matters from Africa is the country and the nation to hold these corrupt expatriates to account, Africa. So we've had the civilian party secretary general, all right, which is illegal in Africa. He commandeered current and former ministers, deputy ministers, and public officials to disclose only to him their experiences of the Gupta corruption. And Africa, being a civilian, and contaminating corruption crimes against the state. It's precisely that the reason why former intelligence officers did not submit. They said, look, there's an inspector general report here. You want to see it, go ask the inspector. But we can't give it to you because you're a civilian. That's why we are saying that, Maverick, why complain? Why a civilian interfere in matters of state corruption against the state? Huh? Corruption crimes against the state. Why do you are a civilian, man? You are a civilian. And by the way, you think you are representing the nation? You represent 1.5% of the nation. Because we are 55 million and counting. And you are less than 800,000 membership. Confirmed. And it's falling apart. You might be less 500,000 by the end of this year. The way you are conducting yourself. But why contaminate? Why interfere with police work? The Gupta crimes, corruption crimes, are crimes against the state. You are a civilian. Don't get yourself involved in that. And also that the inspector general, it may be illegal for her to disclose the report to you. Because basically, what the report does is, it's a 2010 intelligence report, inspector general's report, detailing the Gupta corruption crimes in appointment of ministers, deputy ministers, and public officials. That's what we are interested in. Not the state capture. Yes, we are interested in the state capture. But we want these corruption crimes in appointment of ministers, deputy ministers, and public. We need that investigated. So, Africa, for the secretary to even say that people who were invited to his office to give insight into allegations of state capture by the Gupta family had developed cold feet. Huh? And in effect, what happened was that the president backers, you see these hidden faces? The thugs. We have to rein in, the nation has to rein in those individuals. We're not going anywhere. So according to the newspapers, the president backers within the ANC National Executive Committee pushed for the Gupta matter to be closed. And Mafrika, one prominent former deputy minister, who is a member of the party, she reacted, Mafrika, to the decision to drop the Gupta corruption disclosures. And she said, Mafrika, this is the precise reason. This is the reason why she did not come forward with information. And the question is, Mafrika, where is Parliament the legitimate organ to subpoena the Gupta corruption disclosures? Where is Parliament? Huh? And hold appropriate judicial organs to account to investigate these crimes. We have a civilian commandeering former ministers and current and former ministers and public officials to come and disclose to him. It doesn't work that way. Does he guarantee whistleblower protection to these individuals? And does he guarantee immunity against self-incrimination and prosecution in the future? He does not do that. He is not the law. He is just a civilian who happened to be occupying a position, and his term of office might be ending, maybe next year or so. So, Mafrika, this is the conduct of hooligans and thugs. Thuggish regime. And Mafrika, to again quote, I mean, I will refer to the Secretary General. He says, if oligarchs cannot be disciplined by the state, instead they discipline the state, we are going to develop into a mafia state where all what the state will be doing is to nurse interests of family businesses. And Mafrika, in today's South Africa, we have the Zuma Gupta Mafia oligarchy. It cannot be disciplined by the state, Mafrika. Instead, they hold control, they extort, they intimidate the state patronage network of appointed cabinet. They intimidate. That's a patronage network. They have it under their grip. Extort, intimidate, appointed cabinet parliament, appointed cabinet ministers, parliament, state-owned companies and public service employees, all of them, are all under control of the unrestrained power of the president to hire or fire anyone, appointee, if you are disobedient to the oligarchy, you get fired. That's what the Guptas were telling some of the public officials individually. And the oligarchy in Africa has morphed into a mafia state where all what the state is doing is to nurse interests of family business. I'm quoting the Secretary General. This oligarchy, the Gupta, Zuma Gupta oligarchy, has morphed into a mafia state, my friend. Well, all what the state is doing is to nurse interests of the family businesses. And guess what? The ANC reportedly, my friend, has decided that the banks should explain their apparent collusion. The banks, they are colluding in closing Gupta-linked Ogbay bank accounts. Now, the ANC is imposing the banks to collude in Africa. The presidency, the ANC, is imposing the banks to collude in the Gupta crimes against the state. If the Guptas have a problem, let them go to court. Let them dispute their issues to court if it's the closing of the banks are unlawful. But you cannot force, as a ruling party, 1.5% of the population. And by the way, you got the majority vote, 11 million votes of 39%. 39% of the people in the country voted in the last national elections. 61% did not vote. So you are a minority party. In Africa, you are the Minister of Mining assigned again to talk to the banks has indicated just how far the president was willing to go to ensure that the Gupta interests are protected. And then he's pursuing a solution to the matter, even if it means coming up with a state bank. Go ahead, Mafrika. You must be warned. The executive and the cabinet must be warned not to contaminate the Gupta family corruption crimes against the state. Don't interfere with that. You are not immune and protected against prosecution in the future when you willfully breach your oath of office in the Constitution and collude in the corruption crimes against the state. That's a warning to you, Mafrika. And we are saying that the state legal advisor, you have the obligation to warn the executive and the cabinet to cease and desist aiding and abetting the Gupta corruption against the state. And the question is, where is Parliament, Mafrika? Where is Parliament oversight to hold the executive and cabinet to account against aiding and abetting this family? Where is Parliament? We pay you in the millions. What are you paying for? We pay you far more than engineers, nurses, teachers, police, soldiers. To do what? Some of you are doing nothing. That you are just sleeping at Parliament and eating lunch, breakfast, lunch, and supper. And don't miss it even because you, come on, man. As we speak now, ESCOM is allegedly implicated in diverting coal, costing 174 a ton from one power station to another, costing 580 rands per ton. That's our money. That's our money. A thorough investigation has to be done, Africa. A thorough investigation, but now, we say that Parliament should fully fund the public protector and commit immediate short-term funding she needs to investigate the Gupta corruption crimes. Or else, Mafrika, we the 55 million public, through the South African Council of Churches and other public bodies, should commit. You can commit 1 rand or more to fund the public protector. Let her invest. Let her do her work, Mafrika. Easily to Fasela Rona. The land is ours. Dikorahina, Shangolasho. Thanks, Mafrika, for the privilege of listening, and thanks for giving me the privilege to talk to you.